This is a tape recording made by Beth Ritchie with Mr. John Wykes, who will explain the workings of the yard and slaughterhouse at Durham Lead.
The slaughter yard was established in 1863, and in my hand it is negative number 24, which is the back of the slaughter yards and the stock pens. There's a small part of the catching pen of the lambs and sheep on the left. Negative number 25 is the slot at the side of the catching pen of the lambs and sheep. Then, then we go to negative number 9, which is the front of what we call the vat house, the slaughter yards and the catching pens. And the same with negative number 10, which is a bit closer view. And negative number 95. Number 11. Here's another photo of the vat house and part of the slaughter yard. And this negative number 28 is the back side of the slaughter yards again, and where we have stored all our water supply, water tanks. It's negative number 27. There's another picture of the slaughter yards and the vat house, and a well-known identity, I would say, it would be Dick Gilbert, right in front of the door.
And John, can you tell me something about the way in which that is operated in the family from 1863, and who originally started the whole operation?
Well, great-grandfather Wyke started it, and it continued on from there. And my father's father, my father.
So you're the fourth generation?
I'm the fourth generation.
And there are fifth generation in the shop from time to time?
On occasions, yes. Mm. Yes.
And did they have a butchery at Durham Lead?
They had a shop at for a start. I don't know what it was like, but they moved up into Bunningong in, I think, in 1864. I think they made the decision if they could get, I think it was either 12 or 15 customers, they'd move up, and they got them customers, so they moved up there.
Onto the site of the present shop?
At the present shop.
Yes. And so they prospered there, and then decided to build a bigger...
A brick shop.
Yeah. A brick shop and two-storey dwelling.
Yeah, that's about it.
In 1890-something?
Yeah, I can't tell you exactly.
Late 90s, yeah. Yes, or middle 90s, yeah. 1890s, yes. And the slaughterhouse operation was maintained by the family right through into the 20th century, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, yes.
What year and why was that ceased?
It was ceased in, about 1984, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, 1994, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Due to the high cost of production. I think that's about all you could say.
Mm. Yes, and so maybe something will be done with it in a...
Well, I don't think there will. I think that... Mm. That
it's just times have changed.
That's right.
Mm. Yes. All right, thank you. And so now we've got these others of the interior that you might like to comment on as we go. Yes.
Number 95 is the inside of part of the slaughter yards. Up on the right hand side, years ago there used to be a small door, and we'd come in that door, you can just see a shadow of it. And the cattle used to come in through another big door there, and we'd come along that rail there, and we'd lean over and we'd spear the bullocks from there when they'd fall onto the floor. There used to be a wooden trees on both sides of the left and right hand side of the picture there, and there was rails fitted into the trees, and there were bolts used to slide through the back of the rails every, or perhaps 8 or 10 inches apart. Now they altered it, and we put these steel rails there, and there was a big gate used to come across and close it in there. And there's also, Peter has made a beef crush later on, and the beef used to come in there when they'd be shot with a captive bolt. On this right hand side here, you can just see a shadow of where the door used to be, where we used to sneak in and lean over the rail to slaughter them. And I think I mentioned that.
Yes.
And then we stood on this rail there. Mm. Number 13, I think we mentioned that. This number 14 is more or less just shows a knife washing machine that was all, we used to boil the water with steam. You could wash your knives in there, and there's a hose there where in later years we had to hose all the lambs and sheep down to keep them clean, which there was really no need for it, but that's the rules and regulations. Other than that, I can't. you can see up on the top of those rails, there's those wooden planks. We used to slide the beef along on those rails up higher, and that's be one fella on one side and one on the other. And that was also part, you could climb up that side to spear the cattle as well.
And so before there was water, I suppose you had to do it by bucket, or did they always run a hose from a tank?
No, we just used buckets of water, warm water, that was all we ever used.
Mm. And how many animals would you do?
At a time?
Yes.
Oh, only one at a time. Mm.
Yeah. No, but in an operation, say morning, would it be once a week?
Oh yeah, we'd have a morning for beef, day for beef, and a day for lambs and sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else I can tell you there, really. That's my brother Peter. He looked after this most of the time. It was number 16, and that's our chiller room where we run all our stock into there, and was all chilled before it came up to the shop. And number 15 is exactly the same, only there's a little bit more detail where the rails used to come out and round to my left and come out a door on the side there. Then we get into the what we call the vat house, or the boiler room. And this was a steam boiler. I've seen two or three of them worn out, as a matter of fact. This one that I've got now on number 18, I think it's 18, yes. We hadn't, we'd only bought it a few months before we closed down, really. And it's quite a good machine. It was all driven, was a wooden boiler, of course. When I say wooden, it was steel boiler, but the fire was all from wood, really. Had to run along Then this is where you inject the water into the to the boiler, number 21. And it run out of the cocker steam of, I think it was 70 pounds to the square inch.
And would that be a similar operation, even though it was new, as to the one that had always been there?
Yeah, it's pretty near the same, yes. Yeah, pretty near the same. Well, then we put all the fat in what we call the digester, which is number 20. It was all fat and bones and was all rendered down. And this is where we got our tallow from. It was all went to Melbourne in the tallow.
And how did you store that? Was that run off?
Run off into 44-gallon drums. Mm. That's another picture of it, number 19. There's the top part of it. And on the number 23 shows the tap on the right-hand side of the picture where we all the tallow come out of. And you can just see the top of a 44-gallon drum. And there's a funnel there that used to screw into the small hole of the 44-gallon drum to catch the tallow.
And so there wasn't much difference about that in the way they'd always been doing it.
That's been done the same way for 100 years.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And these are views of the yards and things outside of them.
Yes, that's there's an old digester there on number 30 that was being worn out. Another picture of it on 29 and 29. And you can see a faint different colour there on the ground. And that used to be an underground well that supplied water many years ago too.
Is it still bricked? There?
It's done in limestone stones. Oh. And it's a round hole. That's and held quite a bit of water, really.
So that was their water storage?
That was their water storage for a start.
Mm.
And that's a loading race, of course. We unloaded the stock there, and this is number 31. There's a small wool shed there on the left. And the other side of that was our wire skin shed.
Mm. And how long would you have to keep the sheep? A night before?
Oh, yeah, you penned them up the night before they were slaughtered, yes.
Mm. And you ran your own sheep?
Oh, we had a few of our own, but most of them were bought in at Ballarat Market.
Mm. All right, thank you very much.